Welcome to the Money Over 50 podcast, brought to you by Michael Hoge and Ali Hoge from Money Over 50 Financial Advisors. This information is general in nature and does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Therefore, you should consider whether the information is appropriate for you and your personal circumstances. If you require personal advice, please contact Money Over 50 Financial Advisors. Here are your hosts, Michael and Ali Hoge.
Welcome back to the Money Over 50 podcast with Michael and myself, Ali. We have another listener question. As we previously mentioned, we're getting through them. So hopefully this is helpful for everyone. So this one here is in regards to downsizer contributions. So the question is from Ellis. Love your podcast and the content you guys put out is really helpful. I was wondering if you could answer my question on your podcast. What happens if my partner is 10 years younger, so 60, and she is 60 and he is 50, when we sell our PPOR, so primary place of residence, and want to use the downsizer contribution to add another $300,000 into our super? So I'm guessing here we'll just run over downsizers and explain how it all works.
Yeah, so we'll quickly go over the how you qualify for it and what the main benefits are, and then talk about some advantages and also important points to know. So basically the downsizer contribution has, its main benefits are that you're able to boost your super up without affecting your contribution limits. So sometimes, yeah. Look, it's common at the end of your working life for it to be hard to actually get other assets into superannuation because there's contribution limits each year. So the downsizer contribution doesn't affect the contribution limits, but you need to get it. There's a few things to be wary of that we'll go through, and you need to get it in the right order. So look, it says, you know, it allows eligible homeowners that are aged at least 55 years of age to transfer up to $300,000 from the sale of their primary residence into their super account without it affecting their contribution limits. So going through the qualifications, so it's not included in your contribution caps, so you can still make non-concessional contributions, which are currently $110,000 per individual per year.
Yep.
And concessional contributions, which are $27,500 per individual per year. So in this example, it would go in above and beyond those. Joint owners can contribute $300,000 to their individual super accounts. So if you own the house jointly with your spouse, you can contribute up to $600,000 together. You can effectively double dip. The spouse doesn't even need to be on the title. So even if the spouse is not on the title, a spouse can make a downsizer contribution as long as they fulfill all the other criteria. You must be aged over 55. The property needs to be an actual building, i.e. not a caravan. Mm. Property must be in Australia. You must have owned the property for at least 10 years. That's one that's often overlooked.
Yeah. I had a client where I was trying to, they sold their home and trying to figure out if they'd be eligible. And that was the one that they were just shy of. They didn't have it for at least 10 years. So.
Yep. You make the contribution within 90 days of receiving the money from the sale. So that's another one to be wary of, because that 90 days goes fast. Mm. There is an official downsizer contribution into superannuation form. And most superannuation funds actually have, well, they actually have their own forms, but they're official ATO forms.
Yeah.
Because it needs to go in and be coded a specific way. So that needs to be lodged with the super fund either before or when you make the contribution. So you need to be very, very careful about that. I've heard anecdotally that's stumbled some people up. They've contributed the money, and then they have forgotten to put the right form in.
Yeah.
And it's been rejected. So, it used to be an older age. It was 60 from the 1st of January 2023. It's age 55. Alice, look, with ages 60 and 50, like the way the look, I haven't experienced this personally. In fact, we've had very little downsize of contributions occur. The way the legislation reads is that the 60-year-old member of the couple would be able to take advantage of this. The 50-year-old couple member of the couple wouldn't be able to take advantage of this. So say you'd be able to do it for the 60-year-old.
Yeah.
Another thing to note is that you don't actually have to downsize. Like you can, you know, you could potentially
upsize.
You could potentially upsize. Look, potentially you could get an extra $300,000 each in the superannuation and fund the upsize purchase of a house through another means. You know, from selling another property or from other assets or whatever. So, big advantage. Look, it allows you to contribute money, more money into superannuation. So, I mentioned before the $110,000 per annum non-concessional contribution cap, Ali. Yeah. So, there is the ability to bring forward two future years of that and also put in the downsizer. So, so someone, for example, in one particular year, an individual could put in $110,000 if they had the money. Mm. They could put $110,000 of non-concessional contribution. They could then put in a downsizer contribution of $300,000, and then they could potentially, when the new financial year started, put in three lots of $110,000.
Yeah,
because they can bring forward two lots of non-concessional, and again, all assuming they had the money. So, each person could get in up to $740,000 in a fairly quick succession. Yeah. And if there's two people, in some cases, they could get in up to $1,480,000 in sort of spread over two financial years, so fairly quickly. So it really allows those people to get in more money. And usually, not always, but usually this would be done probably closer to retirement.
Yep.
It's not always in someone's best interest to do it. And I discovered this with a client. So what had happened before they came to see me is the client's sold a principal place of residence and also a couple of rental houses.
Yep.
The principal place of residence, of course, is not subject to capital gains tax. The rental properties were subject to capital gains tax. Mm. It was like a case study. Those rental properties were sold in a new financial year.
Yeah.
They sold their principal place of residence sort of late in one financial year. Their accountant said to them, look, you need to get this downsizer contribution in before 90 days. So they they put in the $300,000. That actually tipped one of them over $500,000 of superannuation balance, of course, because it was a large contribution. By the time they come to see me in the new financial year, I looked back and the 30th of June balance of this person's superannuation was in excess of $500,000 from the downsizing contribution. It would have significantly advantaged them because they had capital gains in that new financial year from the sale of rental properties that we could tap into the concessional contribution carry forward limits. So that's utilizing, we won't go into how that works, but we've done other podcasts on that. In fact, one just recently.
Yep.
We weren't able to take advantage of it. So this person could have actually put in something like $60,000 of contribution.
Oh, that would have been a contribution. Huge tax saving.
And claimed it's a tax deduction, but because the downsize of contribution went in the previous financial year and pushed them over the $500,000 limit, then it was actually disadvantageous for them to actually put the downsizer in.
Then. You lost the opportunity there too.
So, look, that's one of the things that probably wouldn't come up all the time, but it's one of the things to be wary of.
It's like another one, similar, different caps, which I have seen as well, is I think it was a cattle property and a home being sold. Now, basically there was enough money to put in about 600 grand in, but it was near the end of financial year. Now, bear in mind, they were near the transfer balance cap at that time. So Once you're over, so for now it's 1.9 million, you actually can't make non-concessionals.
Yes, correct.
So what we ended up having to do, because this money was coming in stages as well, the first thought at that point was let's make the downsizer contribution.
Yep.
But we knew there was more money coming in, and what that would have done is essentially not let us get any further money in.
Yep.
But what we did instead was make the non-concessional contribution of 300,000.
Yep.
And then come the new financial year, still within that 90 days, so we're still able to make the downsizer. Then we made the downsizer essentially getting 600 grand. While if we did it the wrong way, potentially we could only get 300 grand in.
In this example, let's say this person had $1.6 million in super, for example, if they would have put the downsizer contribution in first, that would have taken them the $1.9 million and they would not have been able to get any non-concessional contributions in. So the order of doing things was important. So if in your in the example, Ali, you actually put in circa $300,000,
not of downsizer,
of non-concessional contribution, of correct. Which the 3 year bring forward cap is $330,000. That took them up to $1.9 million. However, the downsizer isn't affected or adversely affected from that. So that the order of things, that the downsizer had to come after that. Otherwise, if it came in the other way,
you just wouldn't have
been able to do that.
Correct.
So, yeah, look, it's an interesting one. It's one of those ones where we see it. So through the podcast, we have clients all over Australia now. And Ali, you've had quite a few conversations with people.
Yeah.
In New South Wales, for example, in quite high-priced property markets.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones that really does potentially suit those types of people, especially if you're selling in the Sydney market retiring elsewhere, that the downsizer can really, really make a difference to your situation, because you're selling for X amount and let's say you're moving somewhere and the replacement house is costing you half of that amount or less, so you've got quite a bit of spare money left over. We've talked before at length about the strategies and the advantages to closer to retirement, getting money into superannuation. To be able to then generate a tax-free income from that in a 0% tax superannuation income stream. So it's another useful piece of legislation. The other thing to be important, the other important thing to note is that the money does go in tax-free as well. So it's not counted it's not counted towards the non-concessional contribution caps. But for all other intents and purposes, it's taxed like a non-concessional contribution. So you put that up to $300,000 of the downsizer contribution in, and it goes in tax-free.
Yeah.
The house needs to be sold for. You can't put in more than what the house was sold for. So like if a couple sold a house for $500,000, they couldn't put $300,000 in each. The maximum they'd be able to put in is $250,000 each.
Yep.
It's not a use it all or lose it. So you can, it's up to $300,000.
Yep.
And you can do it only once
That's an important one too, because I guess a trap for some people potentially is if they can only get a combined total amount of $300,000 in, what some people may potentially do is accidentally split that $300,000 between each spouse, so $150,000 each, and essentially they've used up their only chance to make downsize contributions. So in situations like that, it might even just be more advantageous to potentially just use one member of the couple and still have that up their sleeve for the future as well.
Well, I guess in the example with Alice, the 60-year-old member of the couple could actually use that and then potentially down the track, the subsequent purchase of another property.
Yeah.
The younger member of the couple, once they've attained the age of 55, if they sold that property after that, they could potentially use up like their limit at that point in time. So
exactly.
There's quite a bit It's good legislation. It's just one of those things that there's a few things to be wary of course.
Yeah.
To be wary of and also to get things in the right order.
Correct. Awesome. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening to the Money Over 50 podcast with Money Over 50 Financial Advisors. For more information and resources, visit the Money Over 50 website, mo50.com.au. We look forward to catching up again soon.